Hey friend, and happy Monday, June 14th. Thank you for tuning into Divine Exhortations with Drea. I hope everyone had a fabulous past week. I do pray that everyone is doing well in their body, soul, and spirit. And let's just continue on with our Bible character study, and we will be moving on to our next candidate. And we will be looking at the story of Zacharias, Mr. Zacharias. And so I will just jump right into his character profile for today. First thing is that Zacharias was a priest. He was the husband of Elizabeth. He was righteous before God and blameless. He was also an older man. And the last point, he was the father of John the Baptist. Zacharias' story takes place from verses 5 through to 80. And this is another familiar story. With 80 verses, it is one of the longest chapters in the New Testament. It is a lengthy read, so the layout of this exhortation will be slightly different. My plan is to highlight key verses to bring about my points. And if you have some time this week, go through this story. Luke's perspective and account of this family dynamic captures the events leading up to the birth of Jesus Christ. And so here is the gist of Zacharias' story, which is found in Luke chapter 1. But what I will do is just give a condensed version. So basically, Zacharias was serving as a priest before God in the appointed order of his priestly division. It was customary of him to enter the temple and burn incense on the altar while the congregation was praying outside the court of the temple at the hour of incense offering. An angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias and proclaims that he and his wife, Elizabeth, will bear a child who they shall call John. Zacharias explains to the angel that he is an elderly man and Elizabeth is way past the age of becoming pregnant. In response, the angel discloses who he is. He tells Zacharias that he is Gabriel and God gave him a word of good news for him. But because he did not believe, Zacharias will be unable to speak prior to the birth of his son. John is born and Zacharias is no longer mute. He begins speaking, praising, blessing, and thanking God. So let's begin with verses 6 and 7. I want to read it in your hearing. And it says this, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years." My first point is, the lives of both Zacharias and Elizabeth were pleasing to God. They submitted to the will of God, obeyed his word, and they did it in the sight of God. They were blameless. And though they were both obedient, they were stigmatized by their barrenness. Many Jewish rabbis insisted that barrenness was evidence of divine disfavor. While Zacharias and his wife may have been righteous before God, I presume some of their friends probably suspected them of some type of serious secret sin. And another point to tag on here is this. While many of our problems or circumstances can result from our own sins, God, in his sovereignty, does allow some situations or trials to invade our lives for his purpose, for his rationale, in order for us to grow and that he gets the glory. No amount of obedience and upright living can possibly make us absolved from difficulty. But in our difficult times, are we still seeking God? Are we devout? Are we being obedient? Are we still walking upright before him? Zacharias and his wife continued to be blameless before the Lord and walking in his commandments despite their difficult situation. As I mentioned earlier in Zacharias' character profile, he was a priest. And for the sake of time and my main points of focus, we won't get into his temple service or breaking down the significance of burning incense as an offering or the customs of the priesthood and so on. There is so much to be studied and examined, so I'll leave that to the Old Testament scholars to handle that portion. I'll just stay in my lane. But I do want to look at Zacharias's interaction between him and Gabriel the angel. And just bear with me as I read the verses of their dialogue from verses 11 through to 20. And it reads as this: "Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God.'" Verse 17, "He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I do this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." Verse 19, "And the angel answered and said to him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings.'" Verse 20, "But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Amen. So here is my point. Sometimes we pray for something for a very long, long, long time. And after many years of heartfelt prayer with no response from God, we give up out of discouragement. Zacharias's response to Gabriel lets us know that there was a huge issue with doubt on his part. Verse 18 reads as this: "And Zacharias said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years.'" The very fact he mentioned their age tells us two things. First, that Zacharias believed it was impossible for them to conceive because of biology. And secondly, inadvertently, that his God could not do the impossible. Zacharias looked at his present circumstance first and what God could do last. How many times have we succumbed to this type of thinking? And I want to think that it isn't because Zacharias doesn't want to believe this, but in fact he does. It could simply be that he felt it must be too good to be true, and he probably wanted to protect himself from disappointment by not setting his expectations too high. And if some of us have this kind of logic and move in unbelief without even knowing it, we can potentially and probably rob ourselves of miracles and blessings because of the same attitude. Zacharias probably prayed passionately for years for a son, but maybe gave up along the way and stopped believing God. Gabriel came from the splendor of heaven with a direct word from God with amazing news. Zacharias and Elizabeth were going to have a son. They were to name him John, and he was going to be great in the sight of the Lord and be filled with the Holy Spirit from within the womb. This was a promise. God heard all their prayers and seen their heart's petition, and he responded in kind. I want to read Gabriel's response to Zacharias's unbelief again. Verses 19 and 20. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And he says, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. Gabriel reminds Zacharias of who he is and where he has come from. Ooh, that statement alone is a knockout punch. You are not getting back up. Like, the referee counted you out. Right? So Gabriel is really saying here, how could you doubt this promise over your life when I, Gabriel, I'm in the presence of the Almighty God, and he has given me a word of good tidings for you. I left heaven to tell you this. What has your unbelief cost you? What doubts are you grappling with? What situation has crippled your faith in God? What word has God spoken over your life that you're just having a hard time believing? Zacharias paid a price for his unbelief. He became mute and unable to speak because he did not believe Gabriel's word, which in tandem was God's word. Although it didn't forfeit the promise, it did cost him his voice. Gabriel made Zacharias unable to speak from that moment in the temple and right through the birth of his son. It was on the eighth day, when his son got circumcised, that Zacharias confirmed that his name would be John by writing it out on the tablet. Then, immediately, his mouth was opened, his tongue was loosed, he began to speak, thanking God and blessing his name. And I want to close out this segment and say to you today, maybe you think the Lord has forgotten you in your hopeless and destitute situation. I want to remind you that he hasn't forgotten you. He does impossible things for people every day, and you may be next. So don't worry and fret because of the burden of your situation. Believe him. Keep on faithfully living for him and patiently waiting for him to work. This story left us a beautiful legacy of faith in the promises of God and in the one who can do the impossible. In Mark 9, verse 23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Join with me as I close out in prayer. Loving Father and ruler of heaven and earth, we acknowledge who you are to us. You are the strong tower. You are the living word. You are the faithful one. And we come to you today asking forgiveness. Along the way, we have doubted your word for our life. At some point in time, we didn't believe what you said. And for that, we want to say sorry. Lord, help our unbelief today. Resurrect our faith in you. Remind us that you respond to us only if we believe. If we come to God, we must first believe that he is, And so we put our trust and our faith and hope back in you. And because you are the bread of life, we shall be sustained. I pray that we will continue to walk upright before you in spite of our circumstances. When you send a word for us or speak to us directly, that we believe on it and operate from a place of faith. Purge our thoughts and transform our minds this day forward. Because your word is true and what you say will come to pass, we will no longer allow our situations to dictate our faith. We exalt you today because our faith in you has been restored. And for that, we say thank you, Jesus. Amen. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Much love and many blessings. Bye. Hey friend, thank you for listening to today's exhortation. I believe you were inspired, challenged, and encouraged today. Because of that, don't keep it to yourself. Share this podcast with a friend, a family member, even a coworker. Feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your day. Honestly, I feel so special. Let's do this again. See you next week.